Hell, John.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Aloha. This is Professor Gary Lee, and I've got an incredible show tonight. I've got my permanent co-host, Dean Piles, who's working on the movie called The Coward. He'll be on it a little bit later. But I've got some special people I want to introduce one at a time. Okay, not in any particular order. The first person I want to introduce is, we call him the Rooster Man, but it's David LeBlue. Hey, David, how are you?
Well, how are you, my friend? Glad to be here tonight to listen to the show and be part of the show from the beloved state of Texas.
Well,
good evening.
I brought you on because you're a member of the Black Dragon Fire Society. I want your input. Now, before I bring you on and talk a little bit about what you do, you used to have a radio show, a television show. Now you're into fishing, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trying to get out there and wet a line there, trying to keep that activity going.
Well, the one thing that you and I have in common, we're kid advocates. You always come every year to the Bubble Kumite, and you always, participate and help and everything. I appreciate it so much. So stay on the line. I'm going to introduce a couple more of my friends. Okay, my next friend I want to introduce is a pure historian. His name is Joe Ravello. He's one of the best historians I've got to know in these past 20 years. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Gary, how are you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. Thank you for being here. You know, the neat thing about having someone like you, if I make a mistake, you'll jab slap me and tell me I'm doing it wrong.
I'd much rather see you doing something
historian,
right.
Joe. You're a real historian. I appreciate you know the history.
Turn off the speakerphone.
Okay, now, my special guest tonight is someone very, very interesting. His name is William Aguilar. Now, he says that he is the sole owner of the Black Dragon Fire Society. So we're going to be talking about some of the stuff tonight. And so I'd like to bring on William Aguilar. William, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Well, the first thing I want to ask you, William, is that why are you saying that you're the, owner of this society? Why?
Well, I inherited it through my father's lineage, and I also earned the rank all the way up, pretty much.
Okay, my next question is, why did your dad inherit it? And, to inherit a system like the Dante system, you have to be with someone for, say, a minimum of 10, 20 years. How long ago was your dad with Count Dante?
My father and Count Dante worked together from around 1966 to when he passed away in 1975.
I'm sorry about passing away, but that's a long time. So maybe, tell me why you're so adamant about letting people know why you're the inheritor of the system, the society, and not the people that say they are.
Well, like there's a lot of fraud out there, and people just don't have the rights to take that claim.
But why? Why do you say you have it? Tell me. How'd you get it?
Well, as you know, I've told you in the past, at least privately, my father became friends with John Keane, Count Dante, worked with him for a very long time, became business partners, became his right-hand man on all kinds of affairs. He mentioned it several times that William Aguilar Jr. was going to be a successor to his empire, and even after his death, his wife gave my father permission and released everything to him.
Okay. Now, I've got two incredible people on the show with me tonight who I really respect their history. One is named David LeBlue. We call him the Rooster Man. And the other one is my good friend Joe Ravello. So I'm going to ask Joe first. Joe, do you have a question for William Aguilar?
Well, I've known Bill Aguilar, and I've known his son for, I would say, going on at least 30 years. Bill Aguilar.
More than that.
Yeah, it's got to be, again, I first met Mr. Aguirre.
1991, buddy.
Actually, before that, the first time I ever
16.
Met your father was at the Taunton death matches when I was a teenager.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Stop, Joe! Stop!
Yep.
Death matches. Now, that's crazy. Was there such thing as a death match?
Can I help on this one, Joe?
By all means.
It was knockout death or possible. Well, knockout submission or possible death. I mean, you know what I mean.
What about murder or manslaughter? Didn't that portray? You can't kill people.
What can I say? It's the wild 70s. I wasn't there.
Yeah, this was a public event. This was held at the Roseland Ballroom in Taunton, Massachusetts. And obviously, officials came in and said you can't do it to the death, obviously. But this was full contact, no gear, full contact or submission. I know several individuals who were there at the event, everyone from John Almeida from New Bedford, from John Almeida Shotokan Karate. There were members of United Studios out of Brockton. And again, Bill Aguirre with Count Dante. They knew each other for
Richard,
many years.
Wait a minute, Joe. Rooster Man, are you there? Rooster Man.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Well, you
can
know.
Can you imagine? Listen, Rooster, can you imagine advertising death matches in the Boxing Commission? Find out about it. How crazy is that?
That is wild, you know, but you got to stop and think. Early 70s, that was during the Blood and Guts era and the Dojo Wars. And you had a lot of things going on. And of course, Joe there probably could also tell you, and William probably can also do it if he was there. I can't say he was. I can't say he wasn't because I wasn't there. But I was there on the West Coast, and I know what the karate episodes were going on in the early 70s, the Blood and Guts era and the Dojo Wars. And Bill
William, William, tell me about the Dojo Wars a little bit. Did you see that?
What, the Dojo Wars in 1970s?
Yeah, just tell me a story about the Dojo Wars. Like, I heard there's all kinds of stories, but you talk. Tell me about what you heard or what you know of.
Well, from what I understand is basically the stories from my father personally, which I'm sure Mr. Abel has heard a few times because he spent some time with my father personally also. But essentially, there was a call made. And some people went over to Green Dragon. The Green Dragon. I forget the name. The Black Cobra Hall of Kung Fu, and knocked on the door. They were kind of waiting for him on the inside, and the rest is history. Really, in a lot of ways, you know, Jim Konsovic passed away that night.
William, wait a minute. You said Green Dragon, Black Dragon. What, I mean, how many groups were there back then?
Well, it was the Green Dragon Society against the Black Dragon Fighting Society / World Karate Federation. The name of the dojo was the Black Cobra Hall of Kung Fu, I believe.
Okay. They really advertised death matches. I still can't get over that, Roosh, man.
Now,
that's pretty crazy.
Harry, if you look at the official karate issue, fall 1975, and it has Mike Stone with a big, huge afro that he used to have back then. There's a complete article on the event. Official karate covered it.
I have the article. I have the magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was covered by Official Karate Magazine. You know, Bill Aguirre was covered for years through Official Karate Magazine, through their yearbooks, through regular columns. He was also featured on Defense Combat Magazine, which was also run by Official Karate's publication, Al Wise, not to mention the famous three-part article in Black Belt Magazine by Masab Ayoub. You know, this is not something where, you know, Bill or his father is just obligatorily claiming that they did this. They always had the rights to this. They always had it. It was well known in the martial arts area, especially in New England.
Joe, here's something really cool. I remember reading about Bill Aguirre, and then now we're talking to William, his son, which is really cool. So our history, us talking about the fact that we remember reading about it, kind of endorses the fact that he's been around. So William, let me ask you, William, what if he had to go against trying to say that you're part of this group, but yet you got the other side saying that you're crazy. How do you handle that? How have you handled that?
I only heard part of that question. I'm sorry. Something about I'm crazy, which is always a little bit of a factor.
Okay, well, I like that part. Okay. Okay. I'm saying this. You know, all these years, it's been another group that says they're the owner, they're the
group. Yes, the other group.
How do you handle that? How have you handled that controversy?
Well, I've taken some of these guys to court. I'm constantly putting out positive information about who I am and what it's about and who the real lineage of the Black Dragon Fighting Society is. I contact people either personally when I see fraudulent material on their website and nicely let them know either they're part of a fraudulent group or they bought into and was scammed by a fraudulent group.
Okay, William, listen, let me. This is called Parts Unknown, and I kind of say it like it is. Okay, here it is. In a whole picture of everything, half the people still believe that whoever runs it now runs it. Then the other half is broken up into two quarters. One quarter thinks you're crazy. The other quarter just don't know. They don't understand. So kind of talk to that group right now and kind of explain to them, again, why you're such passionate about people know that you are the original or the owner of this group.
Well, can I answer that and address that?
Joe,
yes,
go
yes,
ahead,
please.
My friend. You've known me forever and ever. You probably know more about me now than I do.
Well, this is why I called. You know, I really wanted to keep away from all this, but then when I met Ashita Kim and I met Donald Misko, and this is the whole story, and I can quote facts and times and dates. So at one point, Mr. Aguiar had asked me to do telemarketing for his studio, and he was complaining about Ashita Kim and how Ashita Kim was making illegal copies of the world's deadliest fighting
secret. Who is that?
What, Ashita Kim is Radford Davis. He's a guy who lives down in Florida.
Wait. You said one name, now you're saying another. Which one is it?
It's both. They're both involved in the fraudulent Black Dragon Fighting Society. The original one was Ashita Kim.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm confused. Why is it two different names then?
Because they're two different people, but they both.
Who's laughing at me? Who's laughing at
okay.
me?
Let's start from the top, Gary. Ashita Kim.
Listen, man, they're laughing at me.
First of all,
okay,
let's not try
ahead,
to talk.
Joe.
Hold up. Let's give Joe a chance to talk, please.
Okay, I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No problem. All right. So Ashita Kim, a.k.a. his real name is Radford Davis. After Count Dante had died, several years after, he was under the assumption that nobody owned the rights to the world's deadliest fighting secret book. So he made copies of it, which he was offering it through different venues such as Paladin Press and also other books as well, claiming it was ninjutsu because ninjutsu was popular in the 1980s. I was doing telemarketing for Bill Aguiar at that time, and he was complaining about Ashita Kim. So I wrote an email to Ashita Kim saying, you know, you're making this illegal. Have you ever checked the book? Why? You might want to look at the inside cover of this book you're making illegal copies. There's a phone number there. Why don't you call it? It's been the same number for 26 years, and it still works. Now, he wrote me back wanting to do me to pay $10,000 to have this death match that I had to pay him. And I'm like going, look, I could care less. I'm just relaying a message to you. So Bill Aguiar, I walk in to do some telemarketing. He goes, hey, you're never going to believe it. What did you do? What do you mean, what did I do? Ashita Kim called me. I went, no way. He goes, why? He called me. He's claiming that he met with Count Dante at the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 1969. Now, Gary, I forget how old you are. I'm 59 years old. How old were you in 1969?
I'm 66. I'm 66.
So how old were you in 1969?
14, I believe. I can't remember.
So you were a teenager, okay? I don't know off the top of my head how old Ashita Kim is, but I'm thinking, what, you were a kid and a teenager, and Constante gave you all these deep, dark secrets at the Democratic Convention?
I remember that. You could buy it in a comic book. I remember that.
Yep.
You could buy it for like, what, $2 or something? I forget.
It was like $5 or whatever. But so, simply stated, he contacted Aguiar, and he's sitting there saying, I don't know you.
Joe,
say again?
I just put two and two together. That guy you talked about, he's the guy that catches bullets and can levitate. I remember now.
Right, that's the right.
Yeah, I remember now.
Right. So, you're right. And he makes all these claims about levitating and he does these little bad parlor magic tricks.
Yeah, listen.
And he's
Rooster, wait a minute, Rooster Man. Me and Rooster talked about it. I bet these guys didn't expect the internet. Right, Rooster?
First of all, the show is not about ninjutsu. It's about the Black Dragon Fighting Society. But I understand where you're coming from. First of all, I have no recollection of knowing who this Mr. Kim is. I've met him online. He sells Black Dragon products, to associate members for the Black Dragon Fighting Society. That's about all I know. But as far as going into Count Dante, a.k.a. John Keenan, we go back to the IKA, the term of period there, of the recollection of the back, what we call the backyard brawls, or behind dojo doors, where there was some matches that resulted in several people getting killed. It's part of the history. That's what the original Kumite was.
Is that the part that John Convict, that guy, I don't know who he was, but I heard a guy named John Convict was stabbed or something. Is that true?
Well, yeah, there was a lot getting stabbed. There was a lot of people getting shot. I mean, you got to look at Southside Chicago during the area. During the late 60s, early 70s, and during the period of when Count Dante was doing these matches and entering these matches, there was a lot of speculation. A lot of people were just plain what we call in today's society jealous. I want to see what you know. And a lot of the things that these people were doing, the techniques and methods, were deadly, hand-to-hand combat situations.
Right.
But then, it was supposed to regulate. The IKA was trying to regulate it to bring it into not like a sport karate, but an opportunity for these people to show what they know against an opponent. The Kumite, like in Japan, I've spent a lot of time in Japan, as you know, and I recollect and listen to the old-timers tell me about these matches, and it is true. Now, I wasn't there, but however, what I do know that the Kumite matches were sometimes called in behind the scene, okay, behind the door, they were called death matches. You understand?
I remember something in the early 70s in Manhattan, in New York. We used to fight on the rooftop, and the Kung Fu guys used to tell me they fight really hard. They wouldn't use the word death, so they'd really mess you up.
You use that word, and then you become criminal. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
It
was a behind-the-door wording. We don't use the word a death match. But, when it goes into the papers and the documentations of the comic books, to draw more people to buy the book or buy this and buy that.
That's
to draw in the revenue to build the foundation. Whatever the foundation, I know what the foundation was. You and I both know. The foundation was to establish a secret society based upon those that amplified their method of techniques, in which it was plainly illustrated. For example, John Keenan had the death touch. So, which is in modern now we call
well, what
it
is
yard
the,
of demo.
What is the death touch, William?
Wait, Professor.
Yeah.
This is Wolverine. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. It's getting ready to get real right now. Okay. So, I want to know what the world's deadliest fighting secret is, and this is why. Because every day at 4 a.m., I get up and I set foot. Hang on. Let me finish talking. I set foot on the military base and train the world's best fighting forces. They go all over the world, and when they put their hand-to-hand combat to test, brother, let me tell you, they put it to the test. So, Ben's
okay,
train
wait,
those
wait,
guys.
Wait a minute. William, tell me what DMAC is.
I can't even hear over all the shouting.
Okay. William. Okay, Wolverine and I are like that. We're like that, okay? He's my student. Okay, William, I'm talking to William. What is DMAC, the death touch? What is that?
DMAC essentially is the manipulation of pressure points through physicality and using those techniques that are known as self-defense and martial arts to manipulate them.
It does exist.
Some believe it doesn't, but everybody uses a pressure. If you train in martial arts on some levels, you've used and manipulated pressure point techniques, whether you realize it or not, and it's just a scale upwards from there.
Okay, I'm going to be technical. I want to be realistic. So you're saying if I have the attitude or I know the ability of DMAC, I can text you and you can be sick or be hurt badly within time? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the practicality is two pressure points at a time or within a second of each other and the person can pass out. Depends on where you're striking them. Limbs go numb. Limbs go numb for weeks.
Okay.
All these days.
All right. So, hang on a second.
You feel a burning electric feeling that goes through your arm if you know what you're doing. It does.
Wait a minute,
there is practicality.
I've got a question for you.
I trained with one of the world's greatest fighters, and his name was Grandmaster Joe Louis. Now he could hit you and make your body go numb wherever he hits you. So, and I do give credit to pressure point techniques that can be hit or you can strike in the middle of combat, things of that nature. However, I was also on the ground floor when they first started the Valley Tudo competitions, which Valley Tudo translates into no holes barred. And that's where the modern day UFC comes into play. And that's where that is. But, floating and all this other stuff and so I know pressure points I can hit from 300 meters that put somebody to sleep also.
Mr. LeBlue, David?
Yes, sir.
I knocked out my boss with a finger poke to the forehead.
Well, you have meridians inside the skull. It has to be
a point-on-point
contact.
You don't have to go to Japan to learn this stuff.
Well, no. DMAC is
okay.
First of all, DMAC was a healing art.
All
it was
right.
Brought in
right.
by the Chinese. So
okay.
you can't.
So yes,
I know
it's
all
related
about DMAC.
To acupuncture. Yes. Okay. So yes. Grandmaster Lee, have we talked about DMAC enough?
Please
don't
call me. William. Please don't call me Grandmaster because I'm not. I'm a Uki. I'm a lucky Uki that came from Hawaii. Please, I appreciate the respect, but William, I'm Gary. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not a grandmaster. Okay. Now, I love having Beast Man and Wolverine and you and Joe on the show because it's like a free-for-all. Because now we're having a free-for-all for Jim Mack.
Okay.
Look, I'm not trying to say that any of it's not legitimate. I'm just trying to figure out because, I being the combatants instructor for the Special Forces, I want to make sure that I'm training my guys in the best method possible. I don't want somebody to sneak up and hit us with a damn mock while we're on the battlefield. You know, I want to make sure that I got my guys trained to down to product that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So may I comment on Jim Knox for a moment?
Who is this?
Go right ahead.
Joe Ribello.
Hey, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
Okay. Dim Mak is the Cantonese pronunciation of the term death touch. It's very erroneous because people think it's just a simple light touch and it's going to happen. It does not work that way. As David alluded to earlier, there are 12 basic meridians in the body that are all attached to various internal organs. Just like
correct.
Your circulatory system and your nervous system, they are a series of actions that flow blood or electrical impulses throughout your body. Now, simply stated, when a student goes to study the art of acupuncture, well, I went to learn at the New England Institute of Acupuncture. When the first 6 months, all the text they gave me had all the places you weren't supposed to hit in particular orders because they caused adverse effects. That's the Dim Mak. That's the understanding that if you hit particular points, it's a simple way that we can understand it as human beings. In the old days, our houses used to have fuses. Now they have circuit breakers. If the electrical impulse overloads at certain points, what happens? In the old days, you blew a fuse. In modern times, you shut off a circuit breaker. The same thing occurs within the body.
I got to hear something. I remember hearing a story when I first came to the mainland that Bruce Lee was having dinner while he was filming that movie, and some Chinese guy that was pissed off, you know, whatever, touched him at this restaurant, and then he, of course, he died, he passed away. You know, did you hear that story?
Yeah, I've heard the story, but it's what it is,
really?
A story.
Yeah.
You know, okay. It's not, there's no credulent, you know, I mean, like I said, what Bruce Lee died of and the various aspects regard of it, you know, is public knowledge if you dig deep enough. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a strike.
It's
you know, like
Mac.
You and
maybe
I both know.
Mac.
Right, but I'm saying it's a lot more than just a simple touch of a finger like you're pressing a doorbell. It's more to it than that.
We're talking to thousands of people that don't understand what it is, so you got to explain it. You're doing it. Thank you.
All right. Exactly.
Wolverine, Rooster Man, listen to me. I'm building a cue ball, and I'm going to put it through a radio, and I'm going to knock the crap out of you. Get ready. Ready?
All right.
Here it comes.
I'm always
here
ready.
Here it comes. Get ready. Rooster Man, get ready. Here it comes. Did you feel it?
I
guess I don't have enough cue then. I'm sorry.
I know,
that's
a great medication you're on, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's that Qigong stuff, man.
William, I want to get you back. I want to ask you another question. Now, if this society is so important to you, and you kind of said why is it goes to your dad and everything, but what do you do now? Do you teach now?
I'm sorry.
Are you a teacher now?
I wasn't sure who you're talking to. I got kind of...
He's asking if
you're
teaching.
Right. I wasn't sure for a second. Yeah, I do privately right now.
Okay. So the rumor was that you called some people out. Is that true?
I called for what? That I called people out?
You called some people out to say that you're tired of all this stuff. Did you call some people out?
Do I call people out?
Whatever?
Yeah, I called several people out on the internet for being frauds.
Okay. Well, have anybody answered you?
Yeah, usually with nasty words, and they usually block me afterwards.
Okay. So they want to ignore you, or they just don't want to care about what the truth is? Well, I got Joe Ribello here and Rooster Man. They're about to
What usually happens is they block me and then talk about me in their private little groups. Both Joe Ribello knows me for a long time. I have become an acquaintance at some point over the last couple months with Mr. LeBlue. I actually did contact him, just like I contacted a lot of people over the years. And I have to say, I even sandbagged some of his Facebook groups, and wherever he had Black Dragon Fighting Society fake pictures up, I put a little note in my trademark listed, and I'm sure Mr. LeBlue can attest to that because we had a conversation about that at some point, too.
Well, who owns his trademark?
I own the trademark. I own the Black Dragon Fighting Society, period, hands
down. How'd you get that?
Well, I trademarked it with my father. We both had a mail order business in Fall River. We still have it. I have P.O. Box, and I'm working on my website still. But I have stuff for order on my Facebook page and all that stuff. But yeah, Gary, hold on. Let me finish, please. But between that, between the stuff that we would sell and the mail order stuff, and also we also every diploma that was issued for 40, 50 years was a Black Dragon Fighting Society diploma. When you trained with us at the Lagia Self Defense Institute, everything on the inside was Black Dragon Fighting Society. So whether you were testing out at 6 years old or 60 years old for a rank in our school, you got a Black Dragon Fighting Society diploma.
Okay, William, listen, let me say what I was going to say. Half the people in the world think you're crazy. Okay, so okay, so the truth that you're not crazy, are you?
I don't know, Joe. Am I crazy?
That's a laugh. You didn't say yes or no.
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds it may incriminate me. This is what I want to say. I want to make this absolutely clear.
Okay.
Bill Aguiar, not Aguilar. Everybody from Lawrence Day to on down keeps mispronouncing his name. It's Aguiar. And Aguilar is a Willie Aguilar is a famous professional sport athlete.
Who's that man you're talking about? Who's that man?
Not everybody, you included. Aguiar.
The man you just mentioned. Well, who is he?
I forget who the athlete is. Yeah, but everybody keeps mispronouncing his name as Aguilar. It's Aguiar. But again,
okay, we got that
Bill
point.
Aguiar.
You mentioned a man named Day. Who is that? Who is the Day guy?
I don't know.
No, you said his name just now. Who is he?
Yeah, Willie Aguilar. That's somebody else. That's a professional athlete.
Who is he?
He's speaking
he
of
Day.
Oh, Lawrence
Day.
Lawrence
Day.
Okay, this is – okay, I'm trying to tell you. Okay, Lawrence Day was a guy – and this is what drives me crazy. These people who had like – and they'll admit it. We see stuff on YouTube of them admitting that they maybe spent a couple of months with Count Dante. Or maybe they spent a couple of weeks with him. Or they took classes for a short time. Lawrence Day is more known for studying Shin Fei's Shaolin Do than he is for Count Dante's system. You know, he was a Chinese martial artist who studied with those guys, the brothers who studied with the dog-faced boy in Malaysia. You know, that's what he was mainly known for. And then he started making claims that he owned the Black Dragon Fighting Society, which he didn't. Just like Ashita Kim claimed he owns the Black Dragon Society, which he doesn't. Just like Frank Dukes claims he's one of the co-owners of it, which he isn't.
Whoa.
I hear some names coming up out of here.
You bet.
Oh,
They're liars. All three of them. They're out-and-out liars.
Is this a different show? What are we? Okay, what? I'm hearing names being mentioned. What do they have to do? So the guy that you just mentioned, what does he have to do with the Black Dragon Fighting Society?
Good question.
Ashita Kim claims to be the head of the – I'm going through all three. Ashita Kim claims to be the president of the Black Dragon Fight Society. He has no right to the organization whatsoever. He has no right to Count Dante's organization or his book, The World's Deadliest Fighting Secret. Frank Dukes recently associated himself with Ashita Kim and also makes claims with the Black Dragon Fighting Society. However, the Black Dragon Fighting Society that Dukes alludes to is the original Japanese organization, which has nothing to do with Count Dante's Black Dragon Fighting Society. Nothing, nada, zilch, zip, nil, nothing. Now, Donald Misko also makes claims about being involved with the Black Dragon Fighting Society, but he also has his own organization, the Black Lotus Society. I have no problems whatsoever with Donald Misko and the Black Lotus Society. But none of those gentlemen own any right to the Black Dragon Fighting Society. They are giving away fake certificates. They are phony as the day is long. And they don't have the right nor the authorization to offer rank or title through that society. Period.
But William does. Is that what you're saying? William does.
William Aguiar, before Count Dante died, he ran a tournament in Massachusetts. And at the Ramada Inn, in front, by the way, of the governor of Massachusetts at that time, he publicly proclaimed Bill Aguiar as the inheritor of his system before he died. Now,
wow.
I know there are people out there that I've seen who are saying, well, where's the paperwork and where's this stuff and where's that? Simply stated, there's a paper trail that goes through every major martial arts periodical from Official Karate to Defense Combat, the Black Belt Magazine, that all substantiate the fact that Bill Aguiar was the inheritor. Masab Ayoub admits it in the three-part article that's famous in Black Belt Magazine. Now, again, he, before his death, Bill Aguiar had his son listed as the inheritor of the Black Dragon Fighting Society and the original World Karate Federation. People don't understand that the World Karate Federation was not originated by the Japanese. That term was first used in America by John Kean, a.k.a. Count Dante, who, by the way,
right.
was the youngest fifth-degree black belt in the...
Let me say something. To help enforce John Keenan, he came from Robert Trias of the USKA.
The youngest fifth-degree black belt ever promoted from Robert Trias.
Wow. Now, he was legitimate and real.
Yep.
Robert Trias
exactly.
The father of American karate.
Now, at one point, John Keenan was let go from the USKA for quote unquote, conduct unbecoming a martial artist. Some people claim it was because he was teaching African Americans in Chicago. However, his student, Jimmy Jones, says no, because he was still with the USKA after John Keenan left.
Jimmy Jones, my buddy. You know Jimmy? Cool.
Jimmy, of course. Another one of his students from John Keenan was Al Jean Kaluuya, who runs the karate center. Right.
Have you ever been down in Jimmy's basement down there in Chicago?
I met him at the Gathering of Eagles at one of Al Tracy's events.
Okay.
But I have met him.
What a great guy.
And we discussed
he goes back a long time, yeah. Okay, William, let me stop you, Joe. William, I got to ask you one more question, buddy. Now, how old are you now?
I'm 45. I'm 45 years old.
So for all your life, you've been around the martial arts. You grew up with your dad, and now I can see how I think my listeners and people now understand why you're so passionate. Now, what is the purpose of what you want to do in the future? Without being negative, or just tell me what your goal is for the future. What do you want to do with this?
Well, there's a few different areas, I guess. I am looking to develop my mail order business more. I am looking to actually eventually have a school again where I actually own my own place. I'm looking right now for property to purchase. And like I said, I do teach privately. I teach the students basically that were with me and my father before we closed the school when my father got sick and died. So on one level, I'm still teaching. I'm still doing that stuff. I'm promoting the business online and fighting all these online frauds.
Wow. Okay. Well, Rooster Man and Wolverine, you're still there, right?
Yes, sir.
You survived my T-ball? Cool.
Well,
yeah,
I did. I had a little palpitation when you threw it, man.
We're not making fun, William. We're just talking about all the stuff people talk about. Well, you know, this is just such a fun interview. I tell you what, I will keep you guys on the air. I got to talk to Wolverine a little bit. And I will bring Rooster Man and William and Joe back on. We're going to do a little plug here a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be back in a minute. Okay, first of all, I want to thank Ponte Jesse Bowen, the Who's Who of the Martial Arts, and his vision to help protect the history one warrior at a time. And, of course, him producing this incredible radio show for the past 5 years. And a big thank you and a shout-out to my little brother and student, Dean Piles. He's working on an incredible new movie called The Coward. Dean, I want to say something to you, and it's personal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for letting A.J. Perry and myself get a cameo role in the movie. You know, I still consider myself very lucky just being the main man, let alone being around real karate guys. I get goosebumps all the time when I think about that. Now, we got something coming up in Houston, September the 25th and 26th, and in Greenville, South Carolina, November 6th and 7th. Now, in Houston, I'll be with the Rooster Man and many other people, and we'll be celebrating Al Garza, one of the great karate fighters we've had here in Texas, along with doing the Texas Martial Arts Hall of Fame and the incredible group that Scott Caster and David Caster protect. We're going to be putting in Dennis Cox, Glenn McMorris, rest in peace, because we lost him a couple weeks ago. And we're going to be putting in Dolly Bomb, Daryl Stewart, and his instructor, James Stevens. And then in Greenville, South Carolina, we're going to be honoring Mr. Sam Chapman. And I've mentioned SICA. We mentioned that earlier. That's the Southeastern Karate Association group of Art Heller, Joe Corley, and all those people. And what's really cool, in the next coming weeks, the Wolverine and myself are going to be interviewing Chris Colombo, I mean, the great stuntman, Tim Kahana, the guy that teaches people how to be a stuntman, Lance Brent, your director for The Coward, Mr. Art Heller, he'll be on the 25th of February. He'll be here right around the corner. Then we got Robert Parnham, the director of Hollywood, Mr. Mark Shue, the K-Master. I know you guys know him. Bill Staley, the great security person that works out of Dallas, Fort Worth. Paul Antonio, my brother from Hawaii. Dana Abbott, the American Samurai, who we all love. Then we got Lawrence Arthur, Karen Green, Roger Green's wife. George Mitchell, the great producer. Daryl Santel, another great friend of ours on the radio station. This is A.J. Perry, who we talked about a little bit earlier, who honors the veterans. Marty Cavallis. Oh, wow, I can't believe I got Marty. That's cool. This is Keith Yates, Dr. Keith Yates, who's a professor and also a minister. And then the great, I'm excited, I got goosebumps, Jerry Trimble will be on the air with me and Wolverine pretty soon. Now, I want to say that November 6th and 7th, and September 25th and 26th is the Living Legends Celebrity Roast. We do these once a year to show honor and respect to our military, to the first responders, to the history generals, and to the great people like Dean Piles and Rooster Man and Joe Ribello and William Aguilar, who now I want him to understand, I want to be his friend, and help him maybe share the truth. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the little plug. And one more plug. I want to thank Mr. Mike Dillon and the guys from Century who really take care of me every year. And those guys, I appreciate everybody from Century, Leon Rogers and everybody. So I'm rolling you back with now my friends. Rooster Man, Dean,
and Professor,
and Joe, and yeah. William, are you there?
Professor, right quick, I want to mention, not only, I don't know if you've seen the latest post, but yes, you and Mr. Perry will be on the show, making an appearance in the movie, but did you see Dan Severn will be playing the lead bully in the movie?
Really?
So that's Dan to be Severn, former UFC heavyweight champion and tournament champion, will be my arch nemesis in the movie The Coward. So things just keep getting better.
Dean, you know what? Dan babysitted Garrett when he was 5 years old. When he was a beast, ever after he won the UFC. That's cool. Well, that's cool, Dean.
Yep.
That's really cool. You know, Joe, have you ever met a movie before? Joey Bello.
Have I ever been in a movie before?
Yes.
Nope. Well, I've been on, because my TV shows have been on the air for 30 years, and actually, I've been told by various sources who have worked for people such as Black Belt Inside Kung Fu Magazine that Martial Arts Today TV is the longest continuous-running episodic television program on martial arts in America, which blows my mind.
How about you, Rooster Man? You've been in a movie before, Rooster Man?
Oh, yes, sir. Been in several and been on the networks, many TV national televisions and national television networks, several movies. Well known for recording artists and also having my own show now and my own talk radio show.
Well, ain't you a hoot. How about you, William? Have you ever been in a movie?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, well, then, this is great, then. Rooster Man, Joe Ravello, Dean Piles, and William Aguilar. It's his name, right? Aguilar.
Joe, I gave up, buddy.
I gave up a long time ago.
Listen, guys. I want you guys to make sure you go to Alan Goldberg's event if you're going, and look up my producer and publisher, Mr. Jesse Bowen, because I really want you guys to try to write a book. You guys need to write a book. William, you want to start writing a book about your escapades?
Joe, I saw a film that Joe and I worked on in the 90s doing an alternative version of The World's Deadliest Fighting Secrets.
Yeah, I actually filmed the original footage for Bill Aguilar for a video version of Countdown to his book. And beyond
that's
a lot of the salient features of his Dante system.
Joe's actually a Black Dragon Fighting Society member, signed by my father.
Yep, I'm you recognize my
go back to your question, William. Have you ever thought about writing a book, William? William, have you ever thought about writing a book about this before?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of stuff on file that I work on all the time. So there's a lot of things I have
to put that in the book. You put all those documents and stuff in the book, then, huh? Cool.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing we didn't really touch upon that I'd like to talk about for a second. It's the thing that John Keane really wanted to leave behind to everybody.
Okay.
And that's his system of martial arts. It's called the Dante system. It's a close quarters combat of martial art based on a lot of things you've seen in the original World's Deadliest Fighting Secrets. I hear a lot of people say, well, there was nothing after that book. Well, what was after that book was what Joe Ravello and I had started working on back in the day. There's when you join my father's school and my school, you learn the basics of karate and judo and jiu-jitsu and some kempo techniques and a little kung fu. But what it did was pull you all together to learn essentially the Dante system, which is a close quarters combative martial arts system that usually does the job. That's the part that people don't really want to talk about too much, is what he actually left behind to people. And that's
How many Dante schools are there, Joe and William?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How many Dante schools are they, Joe and William? How many
are
there?
It's really just me that teaches it right now, so that's why it's that important to put it out there more and more in every student counts. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so the Black Dragon Fighting Society, they don't teach that?
The Black Dragon Fighting Society is a governing organization, which most of the time now we rank in-house students, people that have trained directly under the Dante system or in judo and the different techniques that we have taught, or I teach privately to guys now. But for a long, 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 long time, like I said, we have thousands of students that came up through the 50s, not 50s, a little bit too early, I apologize for that. Late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, when my school had closed, my father got sick, we had the great-great-grandkids of the original students coming down that did train with John Keane and my father back in the late 60s, early 70s.
How dangerous was he?
I can only tell you from stories from my father. John, I'm sure Mr. Ravello heard a few, too. We had gone through a lot of fun stories. I'm not sure what I want to divulge on the radio show right now.
Well,
but from what I understand is he has very soft hands, but he's very, very fast and hit very, very hard. And I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, compare him to somebody that we know of, like Gerald Alexander and Mike Stone, Joe. Tell me how dangerous was he?
Since you mentioned me, you know, when we talk about, you know, whether or not people can basically put it out there, whether they can fight and spar and do what they have to do. I watched Bill Aguiar put his son through more rigors. And William, if you can take a moment, I want you to list all the, now I remember, and I'm just going to quote some of the things that I remember. William has competed and won in AAU karate championships, AAU taekwondo, open tournaments. His dad even made him do sumo wrestling at the Black Ships Festival with the Amateur Sumo Association, the official association for sumo in America. And he had his son put on the hakazachi and actually do sumo wrestling. He made his son do every possible form of competitive martial arts. Give us a list, William, of what you've done, what competitions your dad has made you do over the years.
Well, I have to say I touched upon almost every karate tournament organization in New England, and it was probably expelled from some of them for breaking arms and legs and things. Not that I inflicted it, but my blocks were so hard, when they went to kick me, they broke their leg.
Wow, cool. I like it. Now, William, you did something in Vegas. William, you did something in Las Vegas recently. William,
I competed in Shotokan AAU for 10 years, black belt division. Like Joe said, the sumo wrestling. there's so much. I had some judo competitions.
Okay, William, can you hear me? William, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, sir.
You did something in Las Vegas a few weeks ago where you sat on Bravo test that we had. How did you feel about that?
I enjoyed it, and it was a great honor. I think Lorenzo did a good job, and he put his heart out there. He definitely deserves the rank.
Okay. You sat on board with David Ross, Mark Shuey, Linda Piusi, Karen Green, and myself. And, you know, it was kind of sudden, but I'm really so happy we sat there and got the experience seeing my son and my student Jim Butcher put Lorenzo through the pace. What do you think about my son, Garrett?
Your son is phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Well, could he keep up with any five dragon guys, you think?
I'm sorry, what was that, sir?
Could he keep up with any of the Black Dragon Fighting Society guys, you think?
Who, Gary? Gary would make a great addition.
Yes,
he would.
Well, I know it can because I have poison weapons, Joe. You know that. So I'm talking about my son. Could he fight with you guys, you think? Is that good?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well,
I still don't
let
my gun down around
you,
Gary.
When you got to go to the summit, what did you feel about the summit and the Vegas thing? How did you feel about that?
I didn't hear all that question. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, you went to Las Vegas. How did you feel about the summit and going to the Las Vegas Museum event?
Oh, it was great. It was really great. A lot of nice people, a lot of good times. Met a lot of wonderful people, like I just said, and a lot of sharing of martial arts information and backgrounds, and it was great. I don't really get out to across the country and do all that too often. I'm more of just a hardcore New England person, you know? And I don't get around the country too much.
Me and Wolverine call you guys Yankees in love, okay? In love, okay? Now, I'll ask you one more question again. You know, we're talking about a controversial subject tonight. We've got incredible people on like Joe Rebello and Wolverine and Rooster Man who really know their stuff. And to be on the air to talk about this with those guys, I really want to admire you and respect you for doing that. Now, as we end the show, would you like to say anything to the listeners that will be listening on the podcast? You know, something positive about the society, what you can do for them if they get in touch with you.
Were you talking to me, Gary? You talking to me? Okay.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm talking to you, William. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
What can you tell my listeners positive about what you're doing and what you can do if they get involved with you?
Well, I'm hoping to raise the Black Dragon Fighting Society to new levels, maybe even create almost like a MMA fight league type of thing. And like I said, I'm trying to find a new school. I'm looking for a property right now and just keep it going. Accept new members, test them out. I'm also looking to do maybe a seminar once a year in the summertime at a specific location in Rhode Island. And see how it goes. I think 2020 is going to be a good year for the real Black Dragon Fighting Society. And hopefully I can watch
you. You got a lot of credibility tonight having Joe Ribello on the air tonight, because Joe apparently knows you and me and your dad pretty well.
Yep. So, he's very well, actually.
Joe,
very, very well.
Buddy? Joe, guys, you understand it's positive?
Is that for me? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Joe Ribello.
I couldn't hear that well, Gary. My apologies. The positive thing,
Joe,
I just wanted to clarify, if most people who know me know, I don't mention about my association with the Black Dragon Fight Society or nor the World Karate Federation. For various reasons, I'm busy with other organizations and groups. But I just got so sick and tired of other individuals claiming that they were in charge of the organization when I knew the people who were. So that's why I'm on the show tonight. And just to clear the air, I also wanted to clear the air, and I wanted to let people know that these individuals I had mentioned, these are anything that I haven't said directly to their faces. This is not something backhanded comment. I've looked them dead in the eye and said, you don't own the rights to this. So all I look for is positive things in the martial arts. You mentioned Alan Goldberg. I'll be there this weekend in Atlantic City. I'm the MC for the trade show, the Mega Weekend.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to do positive things. And as one of your history generals, Gary, I want to make sure the proper history is put out there.
Yes, you are. Okay, Rooster, I got a question to ask you. Rooster, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we talked earlier today. Rooster and Wolverine, we have something very much in common. We have two angels that sit on our shoulder. One angel is a dreamer. The other angel keeps it real, tells it like it is. And that's what you did tonight, Rooster. And that's what you did tonight, Wolverine. Keep it real. So, Rooster, first. Do you have anything to say that's positive for the end of the show?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to thank everybody for being on Gary's show, and thank you to Mr. Gary, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, for hosting the show. First of all, let's get that out of the way. I'm honored to be here with y'all. First of all, I think, you know, instead of we pointing fingers at individuals and names, I think as the Sport Karate Museum, that's because I'm an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum.
The motto
needs to be forsaken out there as far as foreseen, that we want to keep it one step at a time and be able to admire those positions or those different arts, those different schools, those different styles. Although it's Sport Karate, and we're talking here, whether it's In Shinryu, Goju, Shotokan, American Kempo, Mr. Parker, whatever. The thing is one legend at a time. And we're speaking about a legend here, John Keenan.
Yeah.
And then we're also talking about his successor, which we call it Nidai. The Nidai is the successor of the system, who is Mr. Aguirre. Okay? So we have to respect that intuition. Now, like I said, I'm going to back up here real quick. We need to stop pointing fingers at one another, and that's what's kind of destroying the martial world. I say let's all get together. And what I would like to see, now this is my own intuition, and I will be there in Houston on September 25th, 26th. I would like to see more involvement with your event. I'd love to see it at the roast too, because I think everybody would love that. especially at Mr. Al Garza this year. But what I'm saying is get these schools involved in a tournament so that not only that those that are known in the martial world, such as you're talking about Mr. A.J. Perry, who's a dear friend of mine. There's many thousands that I've become real close friends with within the traditional martial arts systems, okay? Now, when you speak karate to me, you're speaking traditional art. Now, what was a better place to have it all documented? And I'm not challenging nobody. I'm not pointing no fingers at nobody. I'm not calling nobody out. I love you all. I don't care who you are. Mr. Aguilar, I love you. Joe, you know I love you. Mr. Professor Gailey, you know I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Brother Piles, you know I love you too. And many of you I know. But what I would like to see, and I'm going to put this out on the airway right here. The old rooster man's kicking it up. Here I'm coming. I'm going to put it out for all of you. Let's get real Black Dragon Fighting Society stand up and be called September the 25th and 26th in downtown Houston. Let's get a tournament together. Let's put it together. Weapons, sparring, whatever. I want to see the real Black Dragon Fighting Society in whom I belong to. I want to see with my own two eyes.
We'll see what happens.
Rooster Man, unfortunately, you got a phone with the wrong signature. I'm including you too, sir. Listen, you know, it's like people robbing my car, and I'm like, hey, get out of my car. And they're like, well, I'm already sitting in the driver's seat. You should let me drive it around. No, get the hell out of my car.
Well, this is not I'm not calling anybody out in general. I'm saying the topic tonight was about the Black Dragon.
When they stop saying stupid stuff.
When you put out the Black Dragon Fighting Society, who is the real Black Dragon Fighting Society today? It doesn't have
that
to be a down out death match. I'm saying traditional martial arts.
What I'm going to do is clear the air and put those frauds in the ring with me, and they're running for me. That's exactly what's happening. 8-80. I don't care.
We don't need no bully stuff going on because there's a lot of traditional martial arts.
That's definitely where we differ, because the term is Black Dragon Fighting Society, not martial arts organization, not Goodwill Bunny Society. Black Dragon Fighting Society. Get in the frickin' ring and tell me what you've got.
Okay, guys, listen. I got one more guy I got to be nice to. And he's my student, or he'll come to the front and hit me with a cue ball. Wolverine, you got any last words to say, buddy?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm just taking it all in and trying to learn as much as possible. You know, I got to get up in the morning at 4 and go train the United States Special Forces to keep us all safe so that everybody can argue or do whatever they want to do. But I do like to see everybody get along. And this year is Stop the Bullying campaign nationwide for 2020. But like I say, just taking it all in, listening to everybody, just using this show to learn just like everybody else and see what's going on. I wish the best for each and every person on here, and hope the outcome is what they want to, you know, see it or perceive it as. And, you know, that's what this show is about, is parts unknown, is getting things out there. And I think that was a good job tonight. I thank everybody that was on here. Got to do that. So, yeah, I was glad to be sitting in on it, even though I apologize for having to come in late.
Wolverine doesn't apologize. Listen, how are people getting in touch with you in Florida if they want to get in touch with you?
If they want to get in touch with us in Florida, they can, go to our website, which is EMCA-TeamPVT. On the website, on the internet, so it'd be elitecombatmartialarts-pvt.com, or just abbreviate the elitecombatmartialarts-pvt, and they can see our website there. They can call area code 850-368-1552 and talk to us there. We'll be more than happy to get them signed up, get them going. This year we're really doing a lot of stuff on tactical combatives, not technical, but tactical. And, I will say that myself and several of the other subject matter experts from the military
have been reviewing a lot of people's combatives and making a lot of notes on things that are being taught that may or may not actually work on the battlefield or in personal self-protection. And, if you've been to one of my seminars, I go straight to the point.
I'm sorry, I got to get Joe in there. Joe, how are people getting in touch with you, Joe Bello?
Okay. Well, Gary, I just want to say one other thing. You said it'd be a controversial show. Congratulations. Mission accomplished.
Well, how do people get in touch with Joe Bello?
Well, it's good to hear from you, Gary. Thank you very much, everybody, and I hope I was of some service. And
Joe,
until next time, be good.
You got a phone number?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, folks. This is Kenpo Joe. Joe Ravello, known to many on the internet in the martial arts world as Kenpo Joe. You can contact me through Facebook at Joe Ravello. You can contact me through Instagram at Kenpo Joe _ Ravello. You can contact me at AOL at KenpoJoe@AOL.com.
Cool. Okay, Rooster Man. How people get in touch with my buddy Rooster Man?
Just go on to any social media, type in The Rooster Man, and you'll got me good, and you'll get me loud and clear, especially on Facebook. You can also look me up on all of my martial arts schools, Bush and Kai Martial Arts School, and you can also email me there at therooster man@gmail.com. And you can also follow me along on my journey and my path, and the old man stepping down and going fishing there. So, listen, I'm going to get off here.
Well,
I got some other obligations.
You guys are the celebrities. I appreciate it. Somebody said, William, now,
we
talked a lot tonight, so how do people get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me through my email, masteragyar@yahoo.com, spelled exactly the way Joe pronounced it, and or on Facebook. I have my Facebook page, Black Dragon Fighting Society, and I have a few Facebook accounts, William Agyar, William V. Agyar, things like that. For the most part, that's how you get a hold of me. Also, one last thing I'd like to send home to you, to everyone at home listening to this. If your diploma is signed, your Black Dragon Fighting Society is signed by any of the people Joe Ravello had mentioned, it's fraudulent. Get your money back. You're not in the Black Dragon Fighting Society. Done.
How much people pay for a certificate?
I heard from $160 to $260.
The most important thing is
your instructor's signature on a certificate. But
right.
Those
right
individuals,
I have people sending me diplomas to start a class action lawsuit, possibly. So I'm getting all these diplomas sent in. People are saying go after them. So I got getting a list
well,
of
listen,
diplomas
listen, William,
and people
William,
that were cheated.
William, I don't care about lawsuit. I care about protecting it. Listen, I care about protecting the history, one warrior at a time. And that one warrior tonight was Count Dante. Thank you so much, guys. You guys really meant a lot to me. So much for being on the show. And most of all, I want you guys to know that Rooster Man, Joe Ravello, William, and Wolverine, you're my heart. And if a show can't kick my butt like it tried to at Easter, you guys being on the show really rejuvenated me. Thank you so much for being my friend and being part of the Sport Karate Museum and the vision that we have on everybody. Now, Wolverine, I got one more to say to you, okay? Wolverine.
Yes.
I think he already left. Not sure.
No,
so
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to throw a T-ball at you tomorrow. I want you to get a catch and catch it, okay?
I'll be ready.
Okay.
I need the training.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. Joe is proud of you. And right now he's saying, the Wolverine and Gary Lee is so crazy. I love it.
Hey, well, anybody that knows Grandmaster Lewis knows that he don't mind calling anybody out. And, I've been to a lot of things, even that we was at the Action Hall of Fame one year, and this guy come up and told us he was like a, I don't know what his rank was in Kung Fu, and Grandmaster had him squeeze the iron grips that he carried all the time, and he looks over at me and says, I think his guys make a good white belt.
One
of the saddest things is I never got to meet Joe Lewis. That's what that's, you know.
Okay, listen. I'm going to be cut off in a minute. I want to say one more thing. Alan Goldberg, you kicked butt this weekend, having the largest martial arts event in the country and the world. And Joe and William, you have fun. And make sure you go to Auntie Jesse Bowen and tell him that I recommend you personally to write a book. Because you guys, I think that you guys got something really priceless here, the history. And I thank you so much, William. And William, I got to say one more thing. Tell your lovely wife I said hello, Lee, okay?
Sure. She's in the other room listening, actually.
Okay, I like her a lot. Hi, Lee. Okay, she can't hear me. Okay, that's cool.
No,
well,
but
guys,
I'm sure she's watching right now.
Thank you for being on the show. And next week, don't forget, I got Tony Corres, who's one of the top karate instructors here in Houston that work with kids. And we'll go over a little more soft for show next week. But we had to do this week to talk about this controversy. And thank you, William. Thank you, William. Thank you, William. Did I say thank you, William? Thank you, William. Thank you so much for your time. I mean, a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, guys. Good night, everybody. Good night, Wolverine.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, Joe. Good night.
Aloha, Mani, Nikki, Thor, bro.
Mushy Mushy, love you guys. Aloha.
Mushy Mushy, aloha.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next week. This has been the AMAA Masters of Radio Blog Network. And one more thing before I get off the air. You can see the John and Zivad roast now on Facebook. The whole roast is on Facebook, so look it up. It's under my name, Gary Lee, or the Sport Karate Museum Archive. So look at the roast and see what we did this year in Vegas. I love you guys. Good night. Mahalo. Mahalo.
Good night.
Mahalo. Aloha.
Aloha.